Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Welcome to everybody to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island changed nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. And my very special guest joining me today is Suzanne Posel from OccupyCorporatism.com. And in fact, you might be wanting to do something like RealSuzannePosel.com eventually. Anyway, Suzanne, welcome to the program.
Hello, Vinny. Hello, everyone.
Mm-mm-mm. Hey, and I also wanted to comment, your show's quite cool because, what was it? Oh, yeah, it comes in with the Gorilla Radio, so it's like, Gorilla Radio! And then all of a sudden in comes the Suzanne Posel. Hi, everyone, I'm Suzanne Posel. I thought that was freaking classic.
Well, anyway. I really like that song. I really do. I was a big Rage fan when I was a kid.
Yeah. Back in the day, before I even dreamed of actually having my own radio show, I recorded a podcast called Gorilla Radio, you know, based off Gorilla Media, which I created. Then it sucked really, really, really badly, and I never published it. But here we are.
Oh, maybe you should. And see what happens.
Yeah. But then again, maybe not. Okay, speaking of...
Well, listen to this.
Yeah?
I got some cool news. In the House of Representatives, they are passing H.R. 198, which is repealing the president's ability to use or authorization to use military force. This is fantastic. Because military force is what they use when they drone you. It's a military-grade weapon. It's used for military operations. And we recently heard about Eric Holder saying, well, if you're not a combatant, you don't have anything to worry about. We won't drone you here in the United States. So this is fantastic.
Okay. Well, that's good news, so barely anybody will be interested in that. Is there bad news, too?
Oh, come on. Everyone's interested in this. This article is actually going viral right now.
Oh, yeah. And I'm sure there's about 2,000 other articles that are about really, really scary stuff that are going viral, too. This is about the only good one.
Well, there's got to be a light at the end of the tunnel, right?
Oh, no. I think there's not. You know, even sports commentators know this truth, that talk radio is based on negativity. All right? That's the whole reason for its existence, is to talk about negative things. That's what keeps people interested. Isn't that interesting?
It is. Well, I'm going to talk about something else that's positive.
You're breaking the mold here.
I am. The Senate budget resolution for the fiscal year 2014 has a restriction to not participate in the UN Arms Trade Treaty. So the Senator James Onoff is saying that with these two amendments, that the U.S. will not participate in the U.N. Arms Trade Treaty.
That's and actually really good news.
It is very good news. And, you know, right now, folks, they're in New York. They're writing up their little draft of their new international law, and they expect everyone who has signed off on it to abide by international rules, and then subsequently their sovereign rules in their respective nations. But firstly, they have to abide by international rules as far as guns and whether or not citizens are allowed to own them and what type and everything else. Gun background checks and restrictions will all be based on international standards. But the Senate mandating that the U.S. do not comply, that is beautiful. I mean, I don't trust anything that goes on Capitol Hill, but I have to say that's good stuff.
Yeah. Well, I think Capitol Hill puts the capital in capital crimes.
I agree.
in most of the cases. Speaking of capital crimes, I'm sure there's a number of people out there who don't know this fact. I'm actually a bit of a musician, and I played Suzanne this song earlier today, and I wanted to play it for the audience, if you're cool with that, Suzanne.
Absolutely, it's a good song.
All right. It's called Innocent, and I think we've all felt like this from time to time, you know. I don't have any idea how long this is going to play for.
Oh no! washing the scum you are. I said I'm innocent of these crimes, and I'm done giving you my time. I know your legislation's not worth the time.
There we go. Frick, that was awesome. Even if I do say so myself, which I do. Yeah. That's a weekend's work, ladies and gentlemen. Some people take years, some people take months, some people take decades to finish a song. We do it in a weekend. It's not that good, though. It could be better. You know, there's other editing thingamajiggers that could be done to it, but frick, we thought it was pretty damn cool.
It was very good. I liked it.
Mm-hmm. Should we change subject now?
Sure.
Yeah. I'm sure you have more news.
I do. There's also, out of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, they want to instill the Federal Employee Tax Accountability Act of 2013, which states that federal employees who are delinquent on their IRS income taxes will be fired. And anyone who would want to be hired for that position once it was opened would have to submit two financial statements given to the employer, including bank records and all private financial information, to make sure that you are in compliance with the IRS and your income taxes. And if you're not, then you don't get hired.
Mm. So it's just basically anybody who ain't paying illegal taxes to a unlawful government that spends them on illegal wars is a criminal and shouldn't be employed.
Yes, you got it.
Now it makes sense to me, you know.
Oh, the lights are turning on. Exactly. There's no law on the books, folks, that says that you have to pay income tax to the IRS. The IRS was created with the Federal Reserve Act, and they are the debt collector. It's no different than the debt collectors that call you and you hang up on them. I'm not saying hang up on the IRS, but I am saying that they are a debt collector. And there's no law. So, yes, we are being forced by law to follow a law that doesn't exist to pay illegal taxes. Yes.
To fund illegal operations.
Yes, yes. To pay for the Free Syrian Army to attack the Syrian people and terrorize them and get Assad out because he's such a bad guy. Wait till they install their patsy. To terrorize Libya with the National Transitional Council. To terrorize South American nations when we put, like, Castro in, taking out Batista. Would pay for another Saddam Hussein. The list goes on and on.
Mm. Well, I have this real concern as well, is that people are very, very afraid of the IRS and these taxing systems and things like this. You know what occurred to me is that you were talking about the House Oversight Committee. You know, I think there's something they've overlooked.
And what, pray tell, could that be?
Like everything!
Well, they get these redacted statements, so it's not their fault. They've got all this blackout. They don't know. It's national security.
It's the same thing as the House Appropriations Committee's job is to do inappropriate things with the money. It's the House Oversight Committee whose job it is to overlook things that are bad.
I think you got it. I think another light turned on. You got it.
Yeah. All right. Suzanne Posel, OccupyCorporatism, .com. Always fun, always friendly, always fabulous. Thank you very much for coming on the program and sharing us a little bit of news. And also, RealGorillaMedia.com. We're still growing it. I think it's actually really difficult to grow another website when you've already got a radio show and a website of your own and that kind of thing. And that's the whole point of Guerrilla Media, so that you don't freaking have to. So if anybody out there would like to visit GuerrillaMedia.com, Suzanne Posel and I are building that together and making a place where credible activists who don't lie, cheat, steal, or act in any other way pertaining to scumbaggery, basically those kind of people won't be there. Hopefully. We'll be right back after the break with a new guest talking about some super soldier mind control stuff. It's going to be cool. See you back in a minute.
Ladies and gentlemen, do me a favor, smash the television and burn the newspaper. That shit will never tell you that the president's a traitor. Believe what you want, but my evidence is greater. What you know about
welcome
the
back.
Bilderberg and New World Order? What you know
welcome
about
back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about keeping it bankster. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. It's freaking gorgeous. It's even Fukushima irradiated, which is good for the economy because everybody now has a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb. My very special guest, sorry, that was a depleted uranium dust. My very special guest is Eve Logan from evelogan.com. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are?
Okay. Well, I am a researcher and an author and also a counselor and hypnotherapist. I started out doing my actually research with alien abductions and ufology, as well as what I call anomalous trauma. And actually, I was motivated to learn more about unusual experiences that people were having that we related to what I call the UFO experience or the UFO encounter experience. And as well, Eve, I did more research more people over the years.
You dropped out a little bit on your audio for a second there. I hope the problems sort themselves out. I can still hear you now, though.
Do you want me to turn my volume up? I can hear you fine.
I don't know. It has nothing to do with volume. It's just, you know, a bit of a cutout on the thing. If you have a landline number, just type it into the text chat here. And if the issues continue, we'll just quickly call you on that instead.
Okay. Let me do. Let me go. My landline battery's going out. I'm having all these battery problems today. It's kind of odd. And I just wanted to make a correction to my website at evelorgan.com. It's evelorgen.com. And you could also learn a lot more about what I do and my books. And I can continue with the intro if the sound is okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Well, as I was saying before, I'm an author, counselor, hypnotherapist, and researcher in what I call anomalous trauma. And I define anomalous trauma as a type of unusual experience that people report that could be anywhere from something as unusual as an alien encounter, UFO sightings, mind control experiences, what I call the MILAB or military abduction super soldier experience, spiritual warfare, or strange paranormal experiences where there may be influence in someone's life or ghostly visitations or what I call attached entities and interference in relationship dynamics even. So my experience is actually pretty broad because I've worked with a large spectrum of unusual experiences that tended to encircle the alien abduction experience and many paranormal things that happen surrounding that kind of experience. And so really, I didn't intend on learning or discovering what I did that actually resulted in learning more about mind control and what we call the super soldier phenomenon and the MKUltra kinds of projects and survivors of these projects who are from what I call the Illuminati bloodline families. So this is actually an uncomfortable subject matter. It's very triggering for a lot of people because many think that these kinds of things don't exist or should not exist. And how could this happen? So there's a lot of questions about these kinds of things, but nonetheless, people are reporting them. So I wrote two books, and the first book was more about alien abductions and the experiences people have who've had the experience with respect to how their relationships have been affected as a result of their experience. And it involved actually how these alien handlers, if that's what you want to call them, because they could hide behind many masks, which I have found, how these particular alien beings will literally orchestrate and engineer relationships and events in people's lives who've had multiple experiences throughout their lives. And this is one of those taboo subjects that many people, in the, certainly in the early days of ufology and alien abduction research, really did not want to touch this subject because it's really quite sensitive and suggests a level of powerlessness, which is a very uncomfortable reality. So that was my first book that came out in 2000. And as I did more research with people who've had that kind of trauma, I learned more about the in-depth relationship experiences and histories, family histories. And so I learned a lot about the MILAB experience, what I call the military abduction kind of experience, which involved an element of human military secret government involvement in liaison with certain alien factions in the, quote, the secret government. So my second book came out in August of 2012, and this one is more on the relationship aspect of what I call, it's called The Dark Side of Cupid, and it's about love affairs, the supernatural, and energy vampirism. And of course, some people may think, well, what does this have to do with super soldiers or mind control? But in reality, there's very many connections with mind control and the powers that work behind the mind control projects. So a lot of my work actually involves with the paranormal and occult and the secret aspects of the power behind these things and how they happen and why they happen and what we can do about it. So,
and you're taking part in a super soldier summit coming up soon.
That's coming up in May. It's the supersoldiersummit.com. Lorian Fenton is putting the conference on. It's going to be in Henderson, Nevada, which is about 35 minutes outside of Las Vegas, on May 17th, 18th, and 19th, which is a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. There will be several super soldier experiencers who will present about their own personal experiences, as well as others who are researchers in that and related areas of research. So it should be quite mind-boggling and mind-opening. I know Carrie Cassidy's also going to be there. So it should be quite interesting. And it's really difficult to get people to talk publicly about Super Soldier and what I call the MILAB experience publicly. I know because I've worked with people privately, many people privately over the years, and there's many more who've had experiences who don't want to speak public. So
I have something here now that might help thicken the plot. Supersoldiersummit.com
is down.
Yeah, and Lorian's working on it. Apparently, they'll get it up by the end of the afternoon. I don't think it's a conspiracy. It might just be a technical hack, but you never know.
Well, you know, there's a lot of technical anomalies that happen anyway, but I experienced that actually last night on a radio show that I was on last night talking about sensitive things that dealt with occult matters, and it is, quote, coincidental. This has happened certainly more than once in my career as a radio person who've been on many shows myself. And, you know, I used to do a radio show hosting many years ago through Night Search Paranormal Network out of Memphis, Tennessee. And we actually had experiences where we were interviewing people and had all kinds of strange things come over the air and on the phone and be cut off and several times in a conversation. And usually when we were talking about MILABs and secret government or occult kind of things. So you never know.
Yeah,
it makes it exciting.
What's funny is that when those kind of things do happen, it's almost like it freaks you out, but it also kind of gives you sort of personal justification for what you're doing at the same time.
Yes, certainly makes you wonder if they don't want you to say something, so you'll just say it a little louder.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? It's like a child gets back at you, you know, you punish the kid or whatever. And then he gets real ticked off at you, and he spills milk in your handbag or something like that, you know, deliberately to mess with you. And I think that's what's happening a lot of the times when the government's trying to shut people up who are talking about the truth. They just wind up with milk in their purse.
Oh yeah, more than milk. In fact, that's a funny thing you brought up, because early in our research days, when I was doing a support group for people who've had anomalous trauma, MILABs, alien abductions, oftentimes when we would speak out, it was as if the entities or the handlers or perhaps the mind controllers who were always eavesdropping, surveilling their people, they would do things that we called reprisals. And we called it, that's just another alien reprisal or a reptilian reprisal for speaking out on a radio show. And then something strange would happen, like during a support group, my phone would go out for hours, or I would get unusual phone calls during the support group. Or the phone would go out for like 2 days before the group so that people couldn't call to confirm they were coming, or I couldn't call them to remind them of the meeting. Things like that would happen. So, or black helicopters would buzz over the house, you know, things like that.
Yeah, I remember Mel Veritas told me he once had a Chinook helicopter, you know, those big twin-plane helicopters that they can fit a Bradley armored vehicle on, one of those hovering outside his house for like 20 minutes. It's like, whoa, you know, just scared the hell out of him. And you don't know whether or not they're there for you or if they're just on a training mission or something like that. And isn't the other thing, if you don't know, for sure, like 100%, like I have the documents type of thing.
Yes, you don't know.
It all rolls up into speculation. And so how do you actually deal with that suspicion yet lack of certainty?
And that happens so much. Part of it, I think, is a psyop when something like that happens, to make people paranoid and to think, you know, everybody's coming after them and they're going to die. And I think a lot of it is a psyop, and just to continue on with what you're doing and what you know is right, and try not to get too rattled by these things. Sometimes they are frustrating, especially when your neighbors are saying, well, how come there's this helicopter like going over your house all the time? Oh, I don't know. Just one of those things.
Yeah. Who knows, man? Who knows? And my perspective on it is, hey, let them watch. You know, if they probably know what I'm doing and saying and talking about anyway, and I'm a relatively unimportant person, and still getting red flagged for analysis of some deep underground bunker in Cheyenne Mountain or some crap. I don't know.
But what a budget they must have, huh? When you think about it, I mean, what a budget to.
Well, it's amazing how much of a. Well, it's amazing how much of a budget you can accumulate where you can just make the money up.
Well, yeah, true.
unlimited bribery, unlimited scumbaggery requires unlimited money.
It's amazing. I think we learned a lot through actually the MILABs and people in these projects, so to speak, MKUltra projects, that we learned a lot about what we're now calling the breakaway civilization, and the people who are involved in the secret government activities and technology and entire societies who are really functioning on a whole different level of reality. And this is actually where we've found out a lot of the information, is through the survivors themselves who came out with the stories, which were, of course, completely unbelievable at the time they first started coming out. I think the early people were really coming out in the 1990s from the mind control projects, like Kathy O'Brien and Fritz Springmeier, Cisco Wheeler, and then later on Bryce Taylor, Arizona Wilder, and then there was more people like Leah Haley Davenport, who came out with what we're calling the alien abduction and military abduction experience, where those two seemed to happen together or had a relationship between one another. And then as I interviewed more and more alien abductees, I came to find out that many of them did have the military element of the human secret government involvement, sometimes in a medical capacity and other times in a military capacity. And so sometimes these military people were actually their handlers, or they're like mind controller handlers who would take them and interact with them. And then in other experiences, they would be interacting directly with aliens. So we learn that there's a connection between the secret government and the, quote, breakaway civilization humans, and that there must be a pact made between certain alien factions or in other dimensional entities who have the technology and have traded technology for some kinds of compliance or whatever humans have given over to get that technology. Of course, there's stories about that all over the internet, about how that happened in Eisenhower's time and blah, blah, blah. You know, I hear it all the time. It's just that I think it's true. I think that there's an element of truth to that. Over the years, it's not just aliens and not just humans. There's a lot of people who think that, oh, all alien abductions are some black op mind control program done by humans and some cabal of global elite, and they're really the bad guys and the ETs are really the good guys, and it's a black and white situation. But in reality, this is not a black and white situation. In most cases, the lines are blurred, that there seems to be a relationship between humans and these black op, quote, programs in the cabal, so to speak, and certain alien factions. And so the alien factions involved are usually the alien greys and the reptilian beings, the Dracos, and sometimes the mantis beings, and the Nordics, who are interacting with humans.
Have you heard about the people who've been getting abducted, and you know how you get that paralysis before you get taken?
Yes.
They've been using the word Jesus, and it breaks out, and sometimes the aliens are there, and they'll go and like they're burning and just kind of disappear, sort of like demons.
Yes, sometimes that does work. Actually, I've had that happen to me one time where I did call on the name of Jesus, and the gray, which was this entity that appeared, it was like he was like this vapor, this shadowy vapor that kind of popped and disappeared. But that only happened once, but then other times that was not effective. So it's not 100%, but it can work.
Well, you know, in your darkest moment and stuff like that, when you've got no other hope, call on the name of Jesus.
It can't hurt.
Yeah. Hey, you know, what's it going to hurt? All right, we'll be right back after the break with Eve Logan. That's evelogan.com. That's Logan with an E. Back in a minute. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go freaking nuts. My very special guest is Eve Logan from evelogan.com, and we're talking about MILABs. Now, see, this is a new term that I haven't been familiar with until just now. I'd like you to explain these programs. Is there a case study or something very specific that you could use to illustrate what MILAB actually is?
I have an article on my website. You'd have to do a search because it was done a few years ago, and it's called MILABs at Pandora's Box. And it explains my definition of how I came to understand what a MILAB is. And the word was created between like military and abductions, but it really means that there's an alien abduction element within a military abduction. Although some people think, oh, well, it's just military and it's just humans. But in reality, the MILAB experience actually was first reported by people who've had alien abductions, but they also had interactions with military. So actually Melinda Leslie came later and called MILABs REABs. And what a REAB was, it was a re-abduction of an alien abductee by the military for purposes of either interrogation or other methods to find out information or use the abductee in another covert program. So it depends on the definition that you prefer. I just think it involves alien abductions as well as military. So in my article, MeLab's A Pandora's Box, there's a huge preface to an interview with another woman who had MeLab experiences that talks all about that with many references. So there's many cases in there that I refer to of people that I've interviewed over the years, super soldiers. One of the first super soldiers that I interviewed, and I don't even think he used that term because we really didn't have that term. I just kind of came up with it, or we all kind of came up with it. But his name was Andy Perro. And he's since kind of gone underground, so I didn't want to say too much about him. But I met him in 1998 at a conference in Philadelphia. It was in Philadelphia. And I met him when Preston Nichols was helping him come out and go public about his involvement in a MK Ultra Project Paperclip program where he was basically genetically altered and programmed to become a superhuman soldier with capabilities that were beyond the norm of most human beings. And so he came out and I interviewed him many years ago. And since that time, I had come across others that I've interviewed who were in programs where they were like a prototype of a particular type of super soldier, like the man named Jared. I did an article in him some time around 2000, 2001. Another guy named Zed, where he was in a project that involved the Mars Defense Force, where he was actually placed on Mars doing things with aliens and humans, and then time regressed back when he was done with the 20-year term. And he didn't really go public except with my interview with him. So I've talked to many over the years who were involved in these unusual projects and really didn't understand what was happening because many of them are still under mind control and have a very hard time recovering memory and doing their healing recovery work. And one of the big problems with this is that most therapists and psychologists that are from the mainstream academic institutions and the Psychological Association, Medical Association, they do not have definitions or belief systems which validate their reality. So it's very hard for them to get true therapy and healing and recovery from things that people are saying don't exist. And so what happens is that they just get re-accessed back into the programs because they can't get the help they need, or the institutions that are supposed to be helping them are actually involved with people in the Illuminati who are controlling some of these psychiatric institutions and hospitals or military hospitals. So it's very difficult and dangerous for them.
That sounds very similar to something Douglas Dietrich has told me about the Department of Defense. They put black marks on the employment records of good combat veterans and things like that, so that when they come back to the stateside, they can't get a job, and so they're forced to go back in.
Oh, yes. In fact, that's one of the big issues that people have. I know Duncan O'Finian has come out and spoken publicly. He's probably more popular for his involvement in a program. And one of the things that he has mentioned and that I've come across over and over with MeLabs, male and female, is that they tend to be on the edge of poverty. They have a hard time sustaining employment or friends or connections because their controllers control so many elements of their lives. And this is something that's really hard to comprehend for the normal person who thinks that this reality doesn't exist. But it's true that there's so many elements of their reality that are controlled, their medical, their employment, their relationships. And it's very hard for them if they, go out of the programming or break programming or say what they're not supposed to say, then oftentimes they can't get a job, or they'll get a job and all of a sudden their employers are told something or warned, and then they lose their job or they lose a relationship. So part of my work was I really worked on the relationship aspect, where many of them had been engineered to, let's say, marry certain partners who actually kept them in the program or kept them distracted so they couldn't continue with their healing and recovery work and become free from the programs. So that's what a lot of what the Love Bite was about. Sometimes it happens to alien abductees where the aliens are the ones engineering it, but it also happens to people in these MeLab projects where it's not so clear that it's aliens or humans, but they're definitely being engineered to interact with another person in their life, in their outer life, or sometimes in their secret life, where they're on put on ops and missions under mind control. So sometimes they're set up with a like a female partner, if it's a super soldier, who you know goes with them on black op missions to do things together because they work well as partners and they're paired up that way. So there's a lot of really unusual things that happen in these programs because of the capabilities and the technology and the mind control that's being used. And one of the things that I found out that stood out was the sexuality issues of what I call the sexual energy and the human energy, which is being exploited by these people. They actually exploit sexual energy and human emotional energy for amping up the psychic power quotient of a person. And this, many people have reported to me in private. They certainly may not want to speak about it in public, but there's an aspect of, let's say, the people who are really psychic and they have a high psychic ability, and that's one of the reasons why they're used. They may be remote viewers, or they may be somebody who can remote view and then memorize large amounts of information and transfer mind files from one partner to the next. And in order to do that, they have to have a high level of what I call psychic energy. And one of the ways to amplify the psychic energy is through tantric sexual practices. So there's a lot of really unusual things that happen in their secret lives in these projects that they don't even understand until they start recovering memory and trying to figure out what happened to them. And more often than not, what we're finding is that with the MKUltra in particular, and those who are in what I call the multi-generational Illuminati bloodline families, there is the occult ritual aspect, which is connected to some of these mind control programs and the controllers and the handlers and the, I guess, the agencies that are working out these programs. And this is something that I talked about. I interviewed White Wolf von Atzigen recently in a written interview that's on my website. And we spoke in depth about his experiences as recovering from an assassin program, which he was able to describe and define that operated out of Fort Detrick, Maryland. And he was literally abducted as a 16-year-old because of his high level of expertise in the martial arts and his ability to perceive subtle energy that exists naturally in nature and in the rural environment. And there was other aspects of his upbringing which may have been responsible for them choosing him. And it's not necessarily some people say it's genetics, but it's a combination of genetics and energetic frequency and a number of things. Because in his family, he didn't have the classic childhood that you would see with somebody like Kathy O'Brien, for example, where they had parents who were involved with direct occult ritual abuse people who were, let's say, their fathers were their programmers, for example, or were their primary abusers. But now there's people, especially the younger generation, who are coming out, and they do not have necessarily these kinds of indications in their family histories. They're literally plucked out because of genetics or some other marker, which these handlers find desirable to use them in some kind of project. And so what we're finding, and what White Wolf has found in his own research, is that nowadays, there is so much more advanced technology being used for mind control and other methods for creation of these super soldiers and assassins and other people under control. And so it's technologies that are very advanced. And it's kind of scary, but the original technologies, in my view, this is what I've learned from people in Illuminati bloodline families, the original secrets and the origins of some of these MKUltra, Project Paperclip mind control programs came from ancient Egyptian occult practices and satanic practices, which are secrets of mind control and soul theft.
Mm.
So it's pretty hard.
It comes from way back in the day.
Way back.
Well, how many movies have there been where there's some group of really scary individuals who adopt some kind of really kooky ancient practice, and then they do things that are really horrible to ordinary people, and use them for their own ends. You know, it's quite a common theme. And I don't think that these people make these themes up.
No.
I think they're simply a great author. I think Mark Twain it was. He said that fiction has to make sense. The truth doesn't. We'll be right back after the break with Eve Logan from evelogan.com.